Over the past two decades, technology has transformed rights management from back-office clerical function to strategic opportunity across many sectors of publishing. In a new report prepared for the Book Industry Study Group, industry analyst and digital transformation expert Bill Rosenblatt has now gathered unprecedented quantitative evidence showing just how rights management is remaking the publishing value chain. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Velocity of Content. In confidential interviews with executives, Bill Rosenblatt and his team identified common themes for adopting rights management solutions, including legal risk mitigation and efficiency through automation of manual paperwork processes. Important new themes emerged too, especially the value of data. Bill Rosenblatt, president of Giant Steps Media Technology Strategies and co-author with Steve Seek of Position for Growth, The Return on Investment in Rights and Royalty Management Solutions, joins me now. Welcome to the program, Bill Rosenblatt.
Thanks very much for having me.
Well, we're glad to have you back, Bill, with this report out from BISG, and it is a new step in the publishing industry's continuous look at rights management and how to improve rights management through technology. And really, it's important to stress for the audience that what you've done here is gather quantitative evidence, because up until now, for the most part, we've been looking at anecdotes that justify these steps.
Yeah, that's right. So I've been a member of the BISG Rights Committee for quite some time. And for those who don't know, the Book Industry Study Group is a longtime standards setting organization for the global book publishing industry. And BISG has got several committees. The Rights Committee is one of them. And this effort grew out of a couple of things. First of all, the BISG Rights Committee was looking to define a standard rights information taxonomy or controlled vocabulary for communicating rights information between publishers and distributors and other, you know, agencies, other participants, the value chain. And the question arose, what is the point of doing this? What's the business case for doing this? And then the other thing that was going on was, as you said, Chris, there's a lot of anecdotal evidence floating around. And we started to ask questions of the form, what is your business case for improving your rights management processes? And the only answers we got were really anecdotal. And I thought that there was a real opportunity to educate the industry by coming up with quantitative stories about how rights management systems and processes have improved publishers' businesses. And so we embarked on a series of interviews, Steve and I. We talked to rights managers, rights executives at a wide swath of publishers across different segments such as trade and STM, educational, professional. We also talked to agencies, and they ranged in sizes from small to very large. And we basically got them through lengthy interviews to quantify the benefits that they got from their installations or upgrades of rights management systems or rights management solutions in dollar or personnel terms. And we managed to get some really interesting information out of it.
Right. And you heard some things that many of us have heard before. Tell us about what was the sort of tried and true answer, and then we'll get to some of the new information you've uncovered.
Sure. So the tried and true answers, as you put it, you mentioned in your intro, reducing paperwork, you know, reducing legal risk, those are the traditional answers to the question, why do rights management? And those are important, obviously, but they're not all that interesting from a strategic standpoint. And one of the theses that we had, which we were able to prove out through this study, was that the reasons for doing rights management have really shifted from sort of overhead clerical reasons or processes that are sort of must-do processes to really more and more important components of revenue and growth for publishers. Rights licensing has become a bigger and bigger piece of a lot of publishers' revenue streams. And so you've got to think in terms of revenue and growth when you're thinking about rights management and not just about efficiency and paperwork reduction and task automation.
Well, that's an important point, Bill Rosenblatt, because really it is as rights management rises up the value chain, it becomes a more strategic concern.
That's right. And we found out in our research that there are a lot of publishers who are now collecting well into the double digit of their a percentage of their revenue from rights licensing, whereas it used to be this kind of little fringe thing. And there are a lot of examples of that. So, for example, STM publishers do more and more licensing of their journal articles, their monographs, things like that in various situations. And they have to put a lot of effort into finding opportunities to license that information and how to price it and so on. And then another example is for university presses, they do a lot of permissions deals, and those are very ripe for a scalable growth and automation. And then in the trade area, audiobooks are an increasingly important component of revenue. And we talked to a couple trade publishers that found through analysis of the data that they got from their rights management system that they were able to take audiobook production in-house and not only increase the volume of the audiobooks that they were doing, but save money each time they did one, and so grow their revenue significantly from that.
And along with that growth in this part of the business, Bill, you are seeing really a growth in the data that is collected. And so as far as quantitative evidence goes, there's more of it to make the case for using rights management tools, but also it helps the executives make decisions moving forward.
That's right. There's nothing like having a real easy to grasp set of data in front of you to help you make decisions rather than having to slog through all kinds of paper records or even spreadsheets or whatever. If you have a nice data presentation in front of you, I teach data analysis at NYU, actually in the music business program, and this is sort of what we teach there. You want to be able to view and look at the data in an easy to grasp fashion so that management gets it. And in the publishers that we talked to, we found uniformly and routinely that they were able to increase their licensing revenue by typically high single-digit percentage points through data analysis. It enabled them to see where the revenue is coming from in terms of markets, geographies, and so on. What are they charging? Where could they be charging more? Where should they be focusing their sales efforts? Where should they be deploying their sales resources? What kinds of licensing arrangements are the most attractive? And this is all really easy to see if you have good data in front of you, as a good rights management system would let you do.
Right. And I like the idea of optimizing resources, because I'm sure for publishing executives right at the moment, that must be critical.
Oh, it's always critical to optimize resources. And with regard to rights management in the past, the idea of optimizing resources really meant one thing, which was how few people can we get away with hiring to do what are obviously overhead clerical tasks. And the thinking has really shifted from that. And of course, that's still important, to how do we add capacity in a way that impacts revenue the most? And so some publishers are adding capacity in order to proportionately increase revenue. And so the mindset has totally shifted on this in some places, not in everywhere, but in some places.
And give us some details, some examples from the report, Bill, of how these publishers have accomplished that expansion of capacity.
Well, so there are a number of different examples, and we talk to publishers under confidentiality, so we can't identify who the publishers are other than what segment they're in and whether they're small, large, mid-size, or whatever. So one example is we talked to a mid-size trade publisher that was able to bring in a handful of additional licensing deals per year by figuring out new geographic territories that they could license into that were not represented by agents. And so they increased their capacity that way and brought in these additional deals. Another example would be particularly in the academic and university press area, and also STM, the outsourcing of certain types of licensing deals to third parties, such as the Copyright Clearance Center and PLS and other such entities, where you can get a lot more volume of licensing deals done with online automation compared to with a manual staff or even your own website at a much lower cost per deal. So some of these entities have been relying more heavily on third-party licensing agencies. And in fact, it's not an exaggeration to say that those agencies have become a critical piece of the revenue streams of some publishers. In fact, an increasingly large and critical piece of the revenue stream.
I wonder, Bill Rosenblatt, you can't tell us who you spoke to, but you can give us some characterizations of the conversations. And were they relieved to finally have somebody asking them these kinds of questions? What's the sense in the community, the publishing community, about the understanding of rights management among their peers?
That's a really interesting question. So we found actually it to be pretty challenging to convert anecdotal information about how publishers are using rights management systems into quantitative dollar amounts or personnel numbers. This was something that most rights managers have just not had experience in doing or expressing. So they would talk about how they use their rights management and how they used to do things before they got whatever system it is that they're using or hired whatever agency they hired. And we had to work with them to translate those stories into quantitative numbers. And so they weren't used to coming up with those numbers. And it's not a great leap to infer that they weren't used to being asked about quantitative information. And we have had, for example, BISG held what they called a rights summit a couple of years ago, where we were hoping to have conversations. We had panels. I moderated one of them about these issues. And we had senior executives on the panel. These were top-level executives, and they weren't even talking about the ROI of rights management. They were even talking in anecdotes. And so we really wanted to change the conversation from anecdotes to quantitative information. And that turned out to be a fairly significant piece of work. Steve Seek and I both have experience in doing this kind of thing, talking to people, interviewing them, and interpreting what they tell us and working with them to interpret what they tell us into quantitative dollar and personnel type information. And so we're really hoping to raise awareness of the quantitative benefits in ways that senior management can understand and work into their strategic plans. And I think that the report that we've produced goes a fairly long way towards doing that.
Well, looking towards the future, Bill Rosenblatt, I like the points you're making that you're giving evidence to the senior executives to help them make decisions and think about this in a more strategic way. But I imagine, too, that the executives who are sort of coming up the ladder who are doing this work today, they will bring that experience with them in the future. It really become an ingrained piece of the business rather than something somebody has to go to others for information on.
Well, that's certainly the hope. But one thing I would also mention is I've been in this business for a while, and we were asking the same questions about rights management back in the 1990s. And the questions that are asked about the value of rights management haven't changed all that much in over 20 years. And so we were thinking, what kind of tools could we bring to move the conversation forward so that we're just not spinning our wheels yet again and asking the same questions over and over again. And this is how we attempted to answer those questions. And so what we're hoping is that the executives that we talk to would, as you said, advance in the organization and bring that information with them. But also even now, that armed with this information from the report, those we spoke to and also just those who have gotten the report from BISG, it's available on BISG's website and it's free to BISG members, would use it as sort of ammunition or evidence right now in their own companies to help them justify investments in better rights management. And in many cases, we found that companies are underinvesting in rights management. BISG did a previous study a couple of years ago that found out that publishers generally would like to improve their rights management, but they aren't investing. They aren't making the investments. So we're really hoping to use this information to close that gap between the desire to make investments and the actual actions to make the investments.
Right. And those dollars put into these technologies, they will reap rewards moving forward.
That's right. So in some cases, we were able to get information about the costs of the systems. So in a couple of cases, they were using commercial products, and there's a whole bunch of different products available. And we have a table of those products and services, if you count things like RightsLink from the Copyright Clearance Center, which is a popular option. The costs are known. In some cases, such as the huge publishers that we talked to, they implemented their own systems or they heavily modified existing systems, so the costs are harder to calculate. But it was really clear, even though we couldn't get complete cost information from everyone, that the returns on these investments grossly outweighed their cost. In fact, sometimes by an order of magnitude. And so if you're in a publishing company, you see this report and you see some of the figures that we've put in there, like one publisher who added $500,000 to their revenue from rights related activities, and they'll internalize it and they'll say, well, okay, and I'm going to make this up. Let's say a new rights management system costs us $50,000. If we make $500,000 off that $50,000, that's an unbelievably good investment. And there are rights systems out there that either don't incur capital costs, such as if you hire an outside agency, or their capital costs are small. They're in the four figures. And there's some large publishers that have been using low capital cost systems very effectively, if not ideally, certainly very effectively, to get benefits that are far beyond what they paid for them.
Well, it's an important message, and we appreciate you bringing it to us. Bill Rosenblatt, president of Giant Steps Media Technology Strategies and co-author with Steve Seek of Position for Growth, The Return on Investment in Rights and Royalty Management Solutions from the Book Industry Study Group. Bill, thank you so much for joining me today on Velocity of Content.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure to be with you, Chris.
Our co-producer and recording engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. You can subscribe to the program wherever you go for podcasts and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. I'm Christopher Keneally. Thanks for listening. Join us again soon for another Velocity of Content podcast from CCC.